Michelle, for the greeting, and I am blessed to be on the call again, and thankful to be in the land of the living, and my heart goes out definitely to all those who have lost loved ones in today, in the anniversary of the events that happened on September 11th, on this day, actual day, and I'm very sensitive to that as well. With that said, I want to go right into the declaration as that the events of that day actually kind of coincide with what I want to talk about today. It's hard to believe that 14 years ago, the tragedy of the Twin Towers and that event happened. I remember when it happened. I was at work in San Diego at my claims examining job in San Diego, and we were in the office. I got there early in the morning, and I do remember walking in and hearing everyone listening to the radio somewhere in other offices, listening to the, watching the TV, and just being devastated by the whole event and not clear on what actually was happening. It's like being blindsided. Such horrible events. And I'm sure 14 years ago today, to this day, I'm sure there are people who are still grieving, and I'm sure that that loss never really leaves you. And I'm sure that the pain is still there. Hopefully God, I know that God can heal, and I know that God can deliver. Monday, which was Labor Day, I got a chance to kind of relax and chill. I did something I haven't been able to do in a long time. I got to watch TV. I used to sit in front of the TV for hours and watch several of my favorite shows. I know you're like, yeah, Marcus, watching TV is not such a big deal. Yeah, but when you haven't done it in a long time, anything you haven't done in a while, it becomes kind of like far and few between. It becomes something of that's just not common. So I usually will watch shows like Dr. Phil, Beyond Scared Straight, Master Chef Junior, Scandal, and Grey's Anatomy. I was watching a talk show Monday, and there was a young man on the show that was talking about how he was mistreated and abused. And he was describing the events and what happened to him. He described some really horrific things that brought him to tears, even as he was talking about it. And whenever you see a man cry, there is something different in that. A man shedding genuine tears is a pretty deep thing. Longtime R&B hitmaker Tony Terry had an album called Heart of a Man. And from this album, he had a song that says this: a baby's going to cry when there's a need. But when a man won't cry, even when his heart starts, but a man won't cry even when his heart starts to bleed. He'll travel on a long and empty road until he finds out he can't do it alone. Because when a man cries, he's giving you his soul. He's giving you his love and his emotions. And when the tears fall and he's reaching out his hands, there's nothing more tender than the warm and loving tears of a man. When I saw that this young man was crying genuine tears as he was talking, I was intrigued by what he was saying. At the end of his description of everything he was talking about, he said something that I had heard many times before. It struck a nerve in my spirit because I had heard other people repeat the phrase. I've also used the same statement myself. I'm not sure if it was because of where I am in my life right now, a part of getting older, or just because I was really tuned in to what he was saying. But for some reason, when he said this thing, it really got my attention so much that I wanted to rewind the show back and hear him say it again. He said this: I know that God tells us to forgive and forget, but I don't know if I can do that. When I heard him say that, it rung in my ears for hours. I couldn't shake it. I said out loud, as much as I've heard that before, I don't think that's in the Bible. But I wasn't sure, so I decided to do a little research and study. The more I began to look at this, the more it became clear as to why this was necessary for me. Me being right in the middle of some things myself that are very hurtful, confusing, disturbing, painful, and just flat out wrong. I began to see that the reason this man caught my attention was because I could feel his pain, because I'm also in some pain. I'm learning more and more that God brings out of you some of his best sermons, songs, and even successes when you have or are experiencing some pain. And even if you have caused yourself pain, God has a way of taking that pain and turning it around to make it something that is going to bless you. One of the most powerful ways God does that is through forgiveness. Never underestimate the power of forgiveness. Forgiveness can literally heal people. Forgiveness can literally mend relationships. Forgiveness can cause diseases to subside. Forgiveness can change a life. And forgiveness most often is for the forgiver more than it is for the forgiven. I've had people offend me, say sorry, and then move on with no problem. Yet after it's all over and done, and they have moved on, I'm still left standing there with a broken heart. And if I don't forgive, guess who's still carrying the burden? We all should know this. Forgiveness is essential to freeing yourself from whatever offense we may still be hurting over. It's not easy, but it's absolutely necessary to being a happy, healthy, and whole person. Everett L. Worthington, Jr., Ph.D., a professor of psychology at Virginia Commonwealth University and the author of Forgiveness and Reconciliation, Theory and Applications, divides forgiveness into two types. Decisional forgiveness involves choosing to let go of angry thoughts about the person you feel has wronged you. The other one is what Worthington considers emotional forgiveness. He said, to help people achieve emotional forgiveness, Worthington has devised a five-step program called REACH, with each letter representing one step. Recall, empathize, be altruistic or unselfish, commit, and hold on. First, you recall the hurt objectively without blame and self-victimization. Worthington says, then you empathize by trying to imagine the viewpoint of the person who wronged you. The altruistic part involves getting people to think about a time they were forgiven and how that felt. When it's time to commit to forgiveness, people usually say not yet, but when they finally do, they must then hold on to forgiveness. All this is not merely theoretical for Worthington. His mother was beaten to death with a crowbar in 1995, and yet, by applying the five steps of REACH, he managed to forgive. Within 30 hours, I was able to forgive the youths who had committed this horrible crime, he writes in Forgiveness and Reconciliation. What about this whole notion of God says to forgive and forget? Does the Bible instruct us to forgive and forget? I didn't find anything in the Word where God says we need to forgive and forget. The phrase forgive and forget is not found in the Bible. However, there are numerous verses commanding us to forgive one another. Example, Matthew 6 and 14 and Ephesians 4 and 32. A Christian who is not willing to forgive others will find his fellowship with God hindered, Matthew 6 and 15, and can reap bitterness and the loss of reward, Hebrews 12 and 14 through 15, 2 John 1 and 8. Forgiveness is a decision of the will. Since God commands us to forgive, we must make a conscious choice to obey God and forgive. The offender may not desire forgiveness and may not ever change, but that doesn't negate God's desire that we possess a forgiving spirit, Matthew 5 and 44. Ideally, the offender will seek reconciliation, but if not, the one wronged can still make a decision to forgive. Of course, it is impossible to truly forget sins that have been committed against us. We cannot selectively delete events from our memory. The Bible states that God does not remember our wickedness, Hebrews 8 and 12. But God is still all-knowing. God remembers that we have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and 23. But having been forgiven, we are positionally or judicially justified. Heaven is ours as if our sin had never occurred. If we belong to him through faith in Christ, God does not condemn us for our sins, Romans 8 and 1. In that sense, God forgives and forgets. If by forgive and forget one means I choose to forgive the offender for the sake of Christ and move on with my life, then this is a wise and godly course of action. As much as possible, we should forget what is behind and strive toward what is ahead, Philippians 3 and 13. We should forgive each other just as in Christ God forgave, Ephesians 4 and 32. We must not allow a root of bitterness to spring up in our hearts, Hebrews 12 and 15. However, if by forgive and forget one means I will act as if the sin had never occurred and live as if I don't remember it, then we could run into trouble. For example, a rape victim can choose to forgive the rapist, but that does not mean she should act as if that sin had never happened. To spend time alone with the rapist, especially if he is unrepentant, is not what Scripture teaches. Forgiveness involves not holding a sin against the person any longer, but forgiveness is different from trust. It is wise to take precautions, and sometimes the dynamics of a relationship will have to change. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty, Proverbs 22 and 3. Jesus told his followers to be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves, Matthew 10 and 16. In the context of keeping company with unrepentant sinners, we must be innocent, willing to forgive, yet at the same time shrewd, meaning being cautious. The ideal is to forgive and forget. Love keeps no record of wrongs, 1 Corinthians 13 and 5, and covers a multitude of sins, 1 Peter 4 and 8. However, changing hearts is God's business, and until an offender has a true supernatural heart change, it is only wise to limit the level of trust one places in that person. Being cautious doesn't mean we haven't forgiven. It simply means we are not God, and we cannot see that person's heart. My brothers and sisters, wherever you are with pain and hurt right now, trust me, God has the power to heal you and me. We get up every morning and we routinely pray and ask God to do this and this and that. We put in our prayer requests and we ask God to fix this and provide for that. Truth of the matter is, sometimes it's easier to believe God can do something for other people. But when it's time to believe that God can do the impossible for your own pain and problems, at times it doesn't seem possible. And I'm sure it may seem impossible for those who have suffered and lost loved ones within the tragedy of the 9/11 attacks. But if we believe God, trust me, if God can do it for one, he can and will do it for all. We must do our part. Do your part. Forgive others even if they haven't asked for it. It's God's job to change lives. It's our job to maintain the life change he has made in us. God bless you as I pass the call.
God, we thank you for an awesome declaration, oh God. God, we thank you for just another day's journey. We thank you for waking us up and starting us on our way, Lord God. God, we thank you that you connected with Brother Marcus and put a rhema word in his mouth, Lord God, for us, the believer, Lord God. And God, if we truly believe in you, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God. I realize that there are no coincidences, Father, when you plant a word in someone and they go ahead and then they speak it to a congregation or a listening ear or to a heart, a mind, a body, and a spirit, Lord God. Thank you for the movie War Room, Lord God. Without giving away the plot, it is applicable. It is apropos. It is right in that same vein. This month at my church, at the Friendship Missionary Baptist Church in Vallejo, every month we infuse a gift, and this month is, an attribute. Our gift this month, or our thing that we infuse this month, is forgiveness, Lord God. God, you've even heard me do a declaration or two on forgiveness, Lord God. So I thank you right now that not only that was it spoken, Lord God, but I pray, Lord God, that it was received, Lord God, that every man, woman, boy, or girl would receive forgiveness and understand the validity and why it is important, Lord God. God, I hope they receive that vindication is yours, God, not ours, Lord God, that you would release us and free us to forgive and have the capacity, Lord God, to forgive, God, whether they be generational curses, whether they be generational situations, whether they be family situations, God, forgive. teach us your ways in forgiveness, Lord God, so that we can receive and go on, God. Now, we thank you for every prayer request. We thank you for every prayer warrior, Lord God. We thank you for every intercessor. We thank you, God, for every victor, Lord God. We speak encouragement. We even speak forgiveness, Lord God. God, we speak right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. God, we thank you for taking care of us. We thank you for looking on us, looking in our situations. Thank you for breathing on our situations, on our stuff, on our mess, on our everything, Lord God. We thank you. We thank you for your presence, oh God, and the presence in your life, Lord God, in our life, Lord God. God, we thank you even now on these Fridays. A lot of these kids are playing sports, Lord God. Continue to bless them with safe teamwork, sportsmanship. Bless these men and women that coach, Lord God. Bless them. Bless the other young people that sit idle, teach them to learn to just watch and enjoy sports and not run around and occupy their minds. God, I even speak to some of these kids, Lord God, that have ADHD and ADD, Lord God, that you would give them focus, Lord God, and bless them that they could be attentive, Lord God. God, I come praying for young men, Lord God. Some of our young men have so much pent-up anger. I work at a high school, and so many of them have anger, Lord God. And God, that they would be able to even find a male mentor, Lord God, or a mentor, period, Lord God, and that they would be able to download, that we would be able to, from our own situation, that we would open ourselves up and let them know that we have anger, and then that they would be able to identify with somebody. Show these young people some love, oh God. Not only that, but it is men, women, boys and girls, adults, God, that are walking around with anger, Lord God. I speak to that right now in the name of Jesus. I pull it up by the root, God. Even at my work at the Jesse Bethel High School, by name, there are women in my job that are just, it's a horrible situation, Lord God. Right now, and I bind all the anger, the nitpicking, all the cutting, all the just the ungodly behavior by the women is the core group, Lord God. I speak to them right now, God, that you would convict their hearts and make it a cohesive spirit, Lord God. God, I pray now that we build up every brother that is on this line, Lord God, that has a listening ear, Lord God. God, continue to encourage us, Lord God. Continue to fill us with your Holy Spirit and power, Lord God, that we would take the mantle and walk with it, Lord God. Take our rightful place, oh God, and continue to lead and direct, Lord God, our families and partner with our wives and so forth, Lord God, and that we would be would take ownership of our place in the home, Lord God, and lead these families, Lord God. God, we thank you now as I pass the call in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Good morning, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for another day, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for the power of love. Oh, hallelujah. Lord God, I thank you for that declaration this morning, Lord God. That the message of hope reminding us, Lord God, about forgiveness, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. Let me start off this morning, Lord God, asking you, Lord God, to forgive me, Lord God, for my shortcomings, Lord God. Forgive me, Lord God, hallelujah. Lord God, if anything, Lord God, That's within me, Lord God, that's not like you, Lord God. I pray that you remove that thing, Lord God. Lord God, forgive me of my slothfulness, Lord God. Lord God, I pray and I ask, Lord God, for the willingness, Lord God. Lord God, I just got to pray for the willingness, Lord God, to do your will, Lord God. So, Lord God, I want to say thank you, Lord God, for the willingness, Lord God, for the mind, Lord God, to pray and act for your strength, Lord God, and for your guidance. Lord God, I want to lift up every prayer request to you this morning, Lord God. I didn't hear each prayer request, you know. But, Lord God, I want to lift up every prayer request to you this morning, Lord God, and I want to pray that you honor every prayer request this morning. And, Lord God, I want to lift up the prayer line to you this morning, Lord God. Declare victory, Lord God. I want to lift the line up to you this morning, Lord God, and pray your protection and covering over the prayer line and every believer, Lord God, that is connected to this prayer line, Lord God. And I just want to say thank you, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. I thank you for Brother Marcus, Lord God, and his diligence, Lord God, and his study, Lord God, and bringing us the declaration this morning, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. Lord God, I want to lift up everyone that brings us the declarations, Lord God, and I pray, Lord God, that you continue, Lord God, to instill in them, Lord God, what you have for them to share with us, Lord God, because it truly blesses us, Lord God. Lord God, I also want to lift up those mothers, Lord God, that bring their children to the school, Lord God, in wheelchairs, Lord God. And I look at those children, Lord God, and I look at those mothers, Lord God, and folks are just running past them, Lord God, hallelujah, Lord God. I just want to pray a special blessing for them, Lord God. I pray that you give me a heart of compassion, Lord God, for those mothers, Lord God, to where that I be a little extra loving, Lord God, mindful, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you reduce those parents' stress level, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. Lord God, help us to be a little bit more patient, Lord God, with those parents, Lord God. Their children may not ever be able to get up out of those wheelchairs, Lord God, and run around and play with the other children, Lord God. Help us, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to love on those parents and to love on those children, Lord God. Lord God, I pray your blessing, Lord God, and your will, Lord God, over those children and those parents, Lord God. Lord God, I pray for vision this morning, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. Lord God, instill a vision in us, Lord God. Hallelujah. Direction, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Lord God, I pray for structure this morning, Lord God, and discipline this morning, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Lord God, I love you, Lord God. We love you, Lord God. And we need your structure, Lord God. We need your discipline, Lord God. We need your guidance, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Give us, Lord God, what we need, Lord God, that would enable us, Lord God, to forgive, Lord God, and to let it go, Lord God, and move in the direction, Lord God, that you would have us to go. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Lord God. All these things I pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as I pass the call.
Father God, good morning. We thank you, Father, for waking us up another day, Lord. This is a brand new day, and we thank you for demonstrating your love, your mercy, and your grace to us, Lord, by calling us into another day. God, I pray that as this day unfolds, that we will place our hand in your hand, Lord God, and we will walk in the path that you have designed for us to walk in, Lord. I pray, God, that your will be done in our lives today, Lord, and that you will make us the warriors that we are, Lord, that we will speak boldly to those that don't know you, Lord God, that we will spread the good news of the gospel, Lord, that we will do what you have called us to do, Lord, that we will be obedient to your word, Lord God, and that we will find joy and strength in doing what you would have us to do, God. I pray, God, for the person, Lord, that doesn't know you, Lord, the person that's living on the street, Lord, the person that doesn't have a roof over their head, Lord, that doesn't have food to eat, Lord, God. I pray that we will be your spokesperson, Lord, God, that we will be not afraid to go into the places where that a light needs to shine, Lord, God, that we will be that light, Lord, that you have called that we will go into the world, Lord, and make disciples of those, Lord, that have no relationship with you, God. I pray, God, that we will continue, Lord, to be strong and mighty in your word, Lord, and do not fear things that we are sometimes uncomfortable with, Lord God, when it comes down to seeking souls for you, Lord God. I know, God, we will sit in some of these churches, Lord, and we'll sit back and we'll allow people to come in, Lord, and wait for someone else to do your work, Lord God. But I pray that we will mount up as eagles on today, Lord God, and go forth, Lord God, that we might be able to help somebody today, Lord, that we will put a smile on someone's face, a handshake, an encouraging word, Lord God, to see a smile on someone's face, Lord, that we will get out of ourselves, Lord, and not be so selfish with the things that we have, Lord God, and we will reach out to minister, Lord, to evangelize your people, Lord God. We thank you, God, for that opportunity, Lord. We thank you for our health and our strength, Lord. I pray for those who may have ailments today, Lord God, that may be sick and that may have fears, Lord God, that may be depressed on today, Lord. I pray for those who don't have jobs, Lord, that are seeking employment, Lord God. I pray for the relationships that may be in trouble and on the edge, Lord, of divorce and just breakups, Lord. I pray, God, that you will bring us all together, Lord, that we might be gathered together, Lord God, to do your will, Lord God. It is about you, Lord. It is not about us, Lord God. So I pray that we continue to die daily as you continue to live and grow in our lives, Lord God. I pray that we will stand strong on your word and speak, Lord. I talked with a young man last night, Lord God, who was having some real issues with his daughter and the gender that she decided to be, Lord, that she will dwells into places of sin, Lord God. I pray that Father, Lord God, will continue to stand strong in prayer, Lord, as he goes to have conversation with his daughter today, Lord God. I pray that he's able to break through the fog that she's seems to be living in, Lord, and impress upon her, Lord, that you love her and that your word will stand strong in her life, even, God, that she's not turned her back on you, Lord God, that she will turn around, Lord, because she's known you before, Lord God. But I pray for that family, Lord, and any other family, Lord, that may be going through a struggle with their children, a struggle with their spouse, a struggle with a job, a struggle with other relatives and family members, Lord God, that we will stand strong, Lord, and do and be who you have called us to be, Lord, without fear. I pray, God, for the health and strength of everybody on this call, Lord God, that we'll continue to be healthy. And calling you in Jesus' name, I ask and pray. Amen. As I pass the call.
Father God, thank you once again. Thank you for meeting us in this place today. Lord, we bow our hearts and bend our knees so that you can make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things, and we cast out our idols. Forgive our sins, Father God. Forgive us for our sins. We come seeking your face right now. Right now, God of Jacob, we come to the Master Potter in need of transformation. You said none of us are ever perfect. We'll never be perfect. And we all fall short of the glory. We're all in the same boat. You said, oh, whoever humbles himself like a child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. God, we don't have much to offer you, just our burdens and our sin, but take them and set us free so you can use us. Set us free so we can worship you. Break the chains, Father God, that need to be broken, the chains that are holding us down. Take our worry of this world as we leave it today at your altar. At your altar, Father God, at your altar. And in return, Father God, we just want Jesus. That's it. That's what we ask you for today. We just want Jesus in return. You can have all this world, but we want Jesus, Father God. That's what we're here for. Let us leave this call today, Father God, understanding, knowing and realizing that it's in his name alone that demons tremble. Demons tremble. And his name alone is the power in the world that has been given to save anyone, to heal anyone, to forgive anyone. He is truly our cornerstone. Thank you, God. Today, Father God, I want to lift up everyone on the call that's in need of a job or home, specifically, Father God. Guide those looking for a home. Guide those down the right, guide them down the right street. Take them to the right place where they're supposed to go. Give them their hands to the right people. Don't let them waste their time anywhere else where they're not supposed to be, Father God. They belong to you. So they're going to put their hope in you, Father God, that you're going to take them to the right place, the right time, right location to find their job and their home, Father God. You're going to strategically place them. The timing's going to be perfect. The outfit's going to be right. They're going to know it in their heart. They're also going to know if they're not in the right place. They're going to know, I'm not in the right street. I'm not in the right job. This is not for me. Because they're going to put their trust in you, Father God. Thank you, Lord, right now. Thank you ahead of time right now, Father God, that you're going to do that for those people seeking work and seeking a home or another place to live, Father God. And Father God, also today, let us remember, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, so we have no need to fear evil, for you are with us and your rod and your staff to comfort us. You never change. You never fail us. Even though we might think, well, you know, maybe he's just, you know, on the late grade and he's just busy. No, no. You never fail us, Father God, and we believe that today. We're believing that, and we're telling you right now, you never fail us. We understand that. You never forsake us. Help us never to become stiff-necked people, Father God. Continue to guide us and walk us out of the fire today, Father God. Give us the hope that we need, Father God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Regarding forgiveness, Father God, that declaration, thank you so much because that was for you. That was from you, truly ordained, to remind us. What's said on the declarations every week, it's said for a reason. It's to remind us. Let us forgive others like you forgive us, Father God. Let us forgive and forget. Empower us to be able to do this. We ask divine intervention, your divine intervention today if we struggle with doing that, Father, because that's a very difficult thing to do. It's very hard to give up and forgive somebody that wronged us, Father God. We don't want to go another day without doing what you want of us, Father God. Hear our prayer, Father God, right now. Today, Father God, also on this 9/11 anniversary, God, I want to make a special request, Father God, for those that were affected by the attacks in 2001. Maybe people out there, Father God, still wondering why this had to happen. And some are blaming you still, even still, this long after. God, I pray for those people today that you forgive them, for they know not what they do, Father God. Somebody may not have said that, but I'm saying it now. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Give them freedom, Father God, to move forward and to have a hope, Father God. My Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you for hearing all these prayers today. We're trusting and believing that you showed up. You're here. You're listening. You have your hand on your chin right now, and you are looking at each and every one of us right now, Father God. You trust us. You love us. We know that you show up day in and day out, and you're not late. You're not on double mute. You are listening, and you're waiting. You're ready to take action. We're believing that today. We need to walk in that faith. That's what we're going to do today, Father God. As we begin to take our phones off of mute right now, God, please hear our prayers, Father God. Hear those voices of the saints right now as they begin to open up their mouth, Father God. Just hear them, Father God. Bless them, Father God. Use them, Father God. Use us.
But
Lord God, help us, Lord God, to praise you, Lord God, and reverence you, Lord God. And I miss you, Lord God.
Jealousy, Father God. I thank you, dear Lord, hallelujah, for maturity in the name Lord. Bless your holy name, dear Lord. Continue to show yourself. You reign as a friend, dear Lord. We have brought you on today, dear Lord. We may not understand. You work in the sun. You won't understand, but acknowledge God in every way. Continue to direct our path, Father God. Hallelujah. Continue to direct our path, Father God. And we move, dear Lord, today. We thank you for your power. Ignite a fire in us, dear Lord, that never dies. We are on fire for you, dear Lord. I thank you for the joy of the Lord is our strength, Father God. We walk upright, dear Lord, and we stand, and we press, and we tug, and we pull, and we keep going, dear Lord. We never give up, dear Lord, because we love you, and we understand, Lord, that you, Father God, are doing something, dear Lord, something in our lives.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
We praise your name. We bless your name,
Lord
God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to your name. We bless your name, oh God.
Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries.
Yeah.
Trouble is enough for today.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father God. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, as we close out yesterday and head toward today, remind us that all we really have is today. Really? That's all we really have. Today is the opportunity, the gift we have. The present is where we live, Father God. Help us to adjust our thinking so that we make this day worthwhile.
Yes, Lord God.
Learning those things, Father God, that benefit us now, right now, today. And grasping on those things that pave the way for a better tomorrow, Father God. Grant that we would taste and feel and touch the events of each day in a meaningful way, Father God. Grant that we would strive to a greater understanding of what it means to be your children, Father God, so that if no tomorrow comes, Father God, we can be content in what we did today, Father God. Bless all those who put their lives in your hands. We seal all these prayers today in your Son's holy name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. As I pass the call.
Amen. Amen. We can't hear you.
We just want to welcome you for joining Declare Victory today. And we would like to ask if there are any first-time callers with us today. Anyone like to say hello? Okay, well, that's okay. We hope that you have a blessed and wonderful day. We hope that you enjoyed the call. And we do hope that you return because you will be blessed. Is there anyone that joined the call late that would like to say good morning?
Good morning, Spring Patrice.
Good morning, Patrice.
Good morning, family.
Good morning, Victory family. This is Brother Jeff, and I love you all.
Good morning, Brother Jeff.
We love you, too.
Love you back.
Good morning.
Good morning, it's Sinai J.
Good morning.
Good morning, Sinai J.
Good morning, this is Larry.
Hey, good morning, Larry.
Good morning, it's me, Mary.
Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
Good morning, this is Ollie. Good morning, Ollie.
That was my daughter, Jamila, the new one.
Awesome.
Hey, Jamela. Oh, God. Yeah.
Good morning.
Who was that?
Was that Lisa?
Good morning, Prayer Warriors. It's Gail.
Good morning.
Hey, Chantel. Good morning, Gail.
Hey, Gail. Good morning, girl.
Good morning, Kim. Anyone else want to say good morning? Okay, well, now we will start our next segment of the call, and that is the Love, Life, and Victory. We just want to bless you today. Have a wonderful day, and just enjoy the Lord. Enjoy Him. Amen. As I pass the call.
Amen. Good morning, everyone, again. And I do want to acknowledge one first caller, Jamila, who called. And so grateful that you joined us today, and hope you were blessed by the portion of the call that you were on for. And I pray that you are able to stay with us for the rest. I'm so grateful for the ability to be able to share the declaration that was shared today, and I can truly say for myself that it did something for me. I'm so glad that I'm blessed by what God gives me, because it starts with us. God blesses you to bless others, and so I'm grateful today that I have been blessed by God, by what I had to share with you guys. So this morning we were talking about forgiveness and this whole notion of forgiving and forgetting. Is there anyone on the call today who would like to share about, let me see how to frame this. Is there anyone who would like to share on the call today about an experience you had with thinking you had to forget? And maybe you thought that before the call today, and maybe you still feel like you need to forget. Does anyone else used to, have you had that situation come up and you thought that that's what you needed to do? I guess that's what I'm asking. Is you thought that you had to forget, and you felt like God's command was that we forget it, like it never happened, delete it from our memory, and it doesn't exist. Has anyone ever had that experience before?
Marcus, this is Ravonda.
Yes.
Loved most of the declaration that I heard. I'm going to go back and really hear it, but I loved how you gently walked us through this thing of how, it's really impossible for us to forget. And of course, we have our display of Jesus throwing things into the sea of forgetfulness. He didn't say that we did it. We do it. And I spent the last maybe 5 years of trying to forget it, because that's what I thought I was supposed to do. But I'm grateful today, because I had to really, it took me kind of going through clinical help to really deal with some things and writing to know that, the Lord wanted me to count this all joy, count it all joy. Because it was going to do some good stuff on the inside of me, and forgiving the offenses, and not saying that I was off the hook, that I didn't do some things that caused some things, but I didn't have to push the rewind button. And so today, I don't push the rewind button, not for the sake of kind of reliving the hurt, because sometimes it can be addictive. And it can cause addictive behavior. But I'm so glad this morning for your declaration, because when I think about all that I've been through, and then I have to forgive what has happened to me, it's been for my safety. And it's been for me to set up healthy boundaries, because there's some things that were not put in place kind of early in life when we should put them in life. you know, something just wasn't, I wasn't taught. but I thank God for your declaration this morning, and I have learned that when I do think about some of the things that I had to forgive, God reminds me of how big our hearts can be, and therein compassion is birthed. And not only that, healthy boundaries. So I thank you this morning for your declaration.
And thank you for sharing. That is beautiful. I love the way you frame that. How, you know, I find healing through writing as well. I must say, though, that in this time, like before, when I've been hurt before, it was different. Like I would sometimes write a song, or I would journal or whatever. For some reason, this time, I feel like I'm having a little bit of writer's block. So I don't know what, you know, I'm going to get past that. But I did start this this past weekend. I just sat down and I made myself write. And so I made a commitment that twice a week I would force myself to write something, even if it felt like it was stupid or it wasn't good enough, because sometimes you just have to give yourself a jump start. So thank you for reminding me of that. Is there anybody else that wanted to share?
Good morning, Marcus. It's Miss D.
Hey, Miss D.
Can you hear me okay? Good morning. I must have been on double mute or triple or something. Nobody could hear me earlier. I really thank God for you and the declarations that he sends through you. They are always so timely in my life. As of yesterday, I had an experience that was hurtful. And I thank God for what I've been reading every morning, was just actually sitting myself down and putting on the whole armor of God. And yesterday I specifically talked about the breastplate of righteousness all day yesterday and keeping that helmet on so that my mind wouldn't be jumbled. But what I learned through this experience is that someone that doesn't have a close relationship with Christ, they may not be as sensitive. They are not sensitive to God's movement in the spirit. So, you know, learning to forgive and be okay with that forgiving part and praying for the offender was a big step for me last night, moving forward and understanding that sometimes being quiet is a better thing, because I had talked about it a few weeks ago. It's amazing how God will prepare you for day's events. You know, I knew I was tired yesterday, that I needed to muzzle my mouth and keep my mouth closed more so than trying to talk my way or reason my way or to smooth things out my way. Went over yesterday, but I was really hurt, and I had to sit back and then talk to one of the parties and explain, you know, what happened or what I saw from my perspective, and also talk about forgiveness and learning to love over everything. And that doesn't mean that everybody is going to make an amends and say, I'm sorry, but to do it so that we can release ourselves from those weights that can so easily beset us, the weight of guilt, the weight of separation, the weight of division and continued strife and building anger and all that other stuff, resentment, that are part of the weights. As just amazing. And so I'm just thankful this morning that I took the steps that I've been taking in preparation for my own spiritual walk every day to put a word in me and to know that when I'm being struck from the inside out and the outside in, that God has a word that will correct every situation that I encounter today. So, and again, I just want to thank God for how he ministers to you, through you, to me personally. Every time I hear you speak, it hits me directly to my heart. So have a blessed Friday. Have a great weekend. God bless you, and thank you for your openness and sincerity in delivering this message today.
Amen, Ms. D. Thank you. I appreciate that, those words. Was there someone else that wanted to share as well? All right. Amen. So this notion of, we talked about forgiving and forgetting. Have you,
I think a lot of times we also forget that we were on the forgiven or needed to be on the forgiven side, like we were the offender before. I often notice how when we get on the forgiving side, that sometimes we forget, you know, hey, you were in that place before too. Has anyone ever been in that place and then you forgot how it feels to be the offender and you started to kind of come down on people like, you know, you should know better, blah, 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 and how dare you, you know, and it's kind of like you forget, well, wait a minute, Marcus, you know, you did something before too. So, you know, I think it's important that we're sensitive to people, not saying we should be naive, but you know, it is important that we're sensitive to people, to know that people make mistakes and people do things wrong, and we got to allow them some grace where it's applicable, especially our children. I think we can come down hard on our children, especially when we forget that they are actually children and they deserve a lot more grace than we give them. Can anybody speak on that about not being sensitive when you should have been? So everybody's always sensitive, or is there anyone that sometimes you're not so sensitive and you're not so grace-giving?
Marcus, I'm going to jump in, just rewind, and then I'm going to go on mute because I'm working.
Okay.
But yesterday I received Hadassah's grades. She goes to a school that is basically a college prep school, and so they don't have what you would call teachers. They have instructors, and they have what you would call mentors. And so everything that she does is on computer. So they don't really have to write anything. They don't use pencils and all. It's a rarity that they have to pick up a pencil. So everything they do is on Chromebook. And coming from elementary and going into this type of school was a big leap. And she's basically one of the prototypes for the whole district really changing how they school our kids, preparing them for a tech world. And so she scored very low. And basically when she came out of the seventh grade, her scores were pretty good. And I was really quite proud of her, you know, that she did what she did, coming from just the old way of really learning and all that and just kind of stepping into a tech world and being the difference. And this school has just showed up in our community because they're doing gentrification in our area. So the kids have to really take a big leap to leave the old way of somebody always being over them and standing over them and always holding their hand and instructing them, to having to really, really prepare for college. And so her scores was really, really bad. At the end of August, really bad. And so when they came in, you know, and I read them, it was like the Holy Spirit was like, okay, what you gonna do about this right here? And so instead of me really talking to her, because I already knew that I just really wasn't prepared for what I saw, because immediately I was selfish. I wanted to say, you know, I wanted to kind of harp on what I didn't do. But I kind of handed it over to her brother. And her brother talked to her. I listened because I was preparing to go back to work. I had a long day yesterday, so it wasn't really time for me to deal with it. And, you know, he talked to her about, you know, Hadassah, I don't think you really tried, because this doesn't reflect basically what you know. And so she's eighth grade, and so she's already been exposed to geometry and statistics and all that kind of stuff. I don't know nothing about it. I don't know how to do all of that stuff. You know, I think the most I've done has been pre-algebra. and algebra. So I felt kind of helpless in this thing, and so I had to be careful because the tendency as parents is for us to, the thing that we don't know and what we haven't really been prepared to prepare our kids for, sometimes we kind of harp on, well, you should have took better notes or all of those kind of things. And so I didn't say anything, but this morning, you know, and one of the things, I didn't get on the prayer line deliberately because I didn't want, because this is a routine thing for me. And so she needed to know that, you know what, you are even more important than this prayer line. But one of the things that I told her, and the Lord had me to gently correct her, that the thing that she loved most, she has to put it aside until she works on this thing, because you have to do this. This is something that you have, because I'm preparing her for life. I'm not preparing her to stay in my house. I'm preparing her for the world. So I let her know that she couldn't go to the rec. She can't go there to play basketball, but I gave her a choice. And I thank God that he gives us choices. I said, you can either come to the salon, which she absolutely hates because it's hot and boring and there's no computer down there and there's no Wi-Fi deliberately, or you can come to the house. And so she chose, you know, to come to the house and get her laundry and stuff together, and she needed some time to think about it because I didn't want her to think that it was a punishment, but it needs to be, it has to be that I had to restrict her time. Her freedom, she had to value her freedom, and she had to value school, and she had to value some things first, and teaching her how to put some things in place, you know, over her having fun and the things that she loved to do. And, you know, we've been having, she's going on 14, just some issues with just being self-image and all those kind of things. And can I tell you, in the last month, I've had to forgive her and let her off the hook more than I ever had. I mean, showing mercy. And our children show us how God loves us, you know. And every time I would want to really kind of inflict a harsh punishment, and trust me, God doesn't do that. He doesn't do that at all. You know, he doesn't inflict harsh punishment on us, but what he does is chastise us and discipline us. And so God even dealt with me about, okay, you got to put this discipline in place. You have to put this in place for her. And so it wasn't about just making her feel bad, but it was about correcting bad behavior. And that's what God does through the Holy Spirit. And so I had to forgive her a lot this month. Some things that I found out, you know, and all of those things, and God let me know, this is how I felt about you, you know, this. How did you think I felt, you know, when you did this, Ravonda? And he began to walk me through it, so I could not just sit down and, you know, pull out all her stuff, you know, and that's what I didn't do. But I told her, I said, you know what, babe, until you value school and know and see that you have to have the discipline, because she wants to go to Bishop O'Dowd and Salesian. But I have to make sure that she knows that this is what you want. You've got to do this. And that's what he does. When we want the blessings, when we want to reap the path that's a lot clearer, and when we want the blessings to really be free-flowing in our lives, that's what we have to do. But he first let me know that I had to forgive, that I wasn't punishing her. I restricted her movement. That's what I'm doing, because she values that. And that's what he does for us. You know, he teaches us through just the weirdest things in our lives, or the things that we love the most. He teaches us through those things. And so I knew that, you know what, I'm not punishing her. I'm restricting her movement and teaching her a discipline that will help her to be who God has called her to be. And so forgiving her for some of the stuff, it was easy for me to do that. But it was ultimately my choice. I had to do it. I had to let her know. And then, I mean, wrapping my arms around her, because, you know what, I didn't want to do that. I don't want to restrict her movement or whatever, but it's good for her, good medicine for her, you know. But our kids kind of teach us how God you know, does this thing with us also. That, you know what, it isn't his desire to punish us, but he said, you know, the ones that he loves, he chastises us, and we're disciplined, you know, in the areas that we got to get straight.
Yes. Ravonda, I think that was a great move on your part to hand it off to someone else, to her brother. That sometimes that is the best thing, because a lot of times with our children, we take on the responsibility. And yes, they are our children and they are our responsibility. But sometimes it's okay to get help. It's okay to ask another young person to talk to your child, or even another adult. You know, somebody who may have a different kind of relationship with the person that you're dealing with. It may have a different effect. So that great on your part.
But you know what, Marcus, let me tell you, I felt helpless when those grades came in, because the first place I wanted to be selfish. God, you know, what am I not doing? You know, and then she would reap the repercussions of me being selfish, thinking about me first. What is it that I haven't done? What is it that I haven't said or whatever? And her brother has a little different temperament, you know, very passive, which is real good, because I try really my kids, all of my kids are passive. You know, they're really passive. They're not the ones, they ain't going to do a whole lot of hollering. You know, they're not going to be the ones to do a whole lot of complaining. And so I was just ready to go in. At that, the Holy Spirit jumped on me. Like, don't you say another word. Ask him to deal with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. That's good. Real good.
And the other thing about that, you guys, good morning, this is Tanisha, is that
good morning.
The sheer sound of someone else, not just that his temperament is different, but we do so much talking to them that sometimes it just simply turns into wah, 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 wah. And the sound of someone else makes the message click in a way that maybe it doesn't when they hear it from us.
Right.
So it's always a blessing to be able to have the input of someone else in a situation like that sometimes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to tie that into what we're talking about, think about this as well. Think about that sometimes it may take someone else to talk to your offender. Because us telling them that they hurt us may not be as effective as someone else coming in and saying, hey, do you hear what they're saying? Or they may cause them to look at it in a different way. You know,
So it
all ties in, you know. Anybody else want to talk about, want to speak to? I want to hear more of those who, anybody who has not given grace when you know you should have, or you forgot what grace you got when you were the offender or when you did something wrong and you didn't have as much grace on somebody else.
Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Hey, you know, I'll be trying. Just today I was going to be like Brother Jeff and not say nothing, but man, I got on open-toe shoes. Why you step on my toe? I just got done yesterday. My foot hurt. Grace, forgetting about that, and I'm gonna be so open. My husband, sometimes I forget when we don't agree and see eye to eye, and I just don't have no grace. You know what I mean? I don't have no sympathy for some of the things that he does, and it's like, but you. Just this morning, I flipped, and then before, the Holy Spirit said, what did you just do, Miss Forgiveness Seeker? You know, you don't want us promoting this peace thing, and you just didn't show him grace or mercy for just doing something that's so, doesn't even really matter. So, and it's not a, you know, it's not like the big thing, like when you're talking about somebody doing something that's real, real serious. Just little things like that can grow. So I had to check myself and go back and apologize for acting a fool, because it don't always be that serious. And so I would have gone all day. He go to work in the hell zone, and I'm way out in San Ramon, and that would have started a unnecessary stuff if I did not check myself and go back and make it right and to make amends for something that he did. You know what I mean? It's like, even though he did this thing, I've done stuff too, but I wanted to just blow up because I'm the wife and I'm usually right, but it wasn't that serious. So I had to say, look, so that right there, I have to remember, because God always gives me grace for stuff, grace and mercy every day. So that was my little piece this morning. I got almost out the house and I went back and I made it right. So that was an instant thing. I'm giving the devil no room. So thank you, Marcus.
Amen. Bless you. Bless you. Thank you, Dee. I always love your responses. Anyone else? Anyone else knew they were supposed to give grace and they didn't? Knew they should have been a little more sensitive and did not.
But Marcus, you also brought up something in this mystery about being cautious. And then being cautious means to know that for me that it may happen again, you know, but I need to continue to guard my own heart. And like you said, this is God's work. You know, I may want someone to be at a certain position with Christ, but that's God's work. So I have to need to guard my heart so I'm not so easily offended, and then I become defensive and the madness cycle continues. That's a part of that weight that God, I guess, is talking to me about, because that started yesterday too for me, like laying aside those weights. And in that caution, then being cautious doesn't mean I'm separating myself, but I'm covering my heart where I'm not emotionally triggered to respond in an emotional fashion, versus being rational minded and of Christ mind to respond in, versus reacting. And so on yesterday, that's what it was. I started off with the armor, putting on the armor of God, and I posted a little thing, double cinching my helmet, because I didn't want my thinking to be off whack, because I woke up kind of off balance yesterday, a little tired. So I know when I'm tired, I need to really be cautious of what I'm doing. And as the day moved forward, it was like I focused on my breastplate, because I needed to be emotionally grounded as well as mentally stable. But being cautious means for me to guard my heart so that I don't react out of an emotional place and sometimes blow things up bigger than they need to be, because that emotionalism can also lead to little tad bits of resentment and anger that comes out in different ways because my feelings are hurt. But those feelings will change too. You know, I got to remember that. See, Satan is after me. He ain't after those who don't know him. He's after me to stop me from progressing in my walk with Christ. That was a good point you brought out, that being cautious.
Yes. And is that easy to do? I want to hear you guys speak about that. Thank you, Ms. D. Is that easy to do, everybody? To be cautious, or do you find yourself hard in between, like you're either too cautious and you're really, really forgiving, you let people back in, or you're way too cautious and now you find yourself suspicious of everybody? So how do you find your way in between? Can anybody speak to that? Either you're way too cautious, or you're too forgiving, or you're in between. I want to hear from all three sides of those, wherever you are, you fall in that. Now, for me, I find myself, I used to be really, really, really forgiving. And so I find myself forgiving people and then over and over and over, and I forgive them, and I'm not cautious. And then we're back in the same situation again. And I was like, God, why do you keep letting these people do that to me? And then as I got older, I began to be real, real, real cautious. And then I'm suspicious of a whole lot of people. So I think I'm learning now how to find my way in between. Can anybody else relate to that?
Hey, Marcus, I'll say something real quick. I can combination of both. Sometimes I'm far too, according to other people, I'm far too forgiving. But I can, well, I'm not really a grudge holder. I'm more of a peacemaker, but sometimes I give a little bit too much grace. You know, it's almost as if I act like nothing happened, sometimes I feel like too often. It's been a process.
You want me to grab?
No. It's been a process, but I think you have to find balance in everything, even in pardoning. And I don't mean like the emotional part of forgiveness, but the gesture of, you know what I mean? It could be this, it could be that. Again, I don't really get stuck with being mad. I really just kind of gauge what's what. You know what I'm saying? But I think sometimes I'm far too passive. But sometimes I don't even realize the person is offended. How about that?
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. I agree.
Or even a better way to say it, I'm often accused of being extremely nonchalant. And I would.
Yeah, yeah.
That would probably be a better statement. Like, whatever, honey.
So while Deanna's talking, Marcus, and she probably can answer this too, let me ask this question to the family. So forgiving, because you mentioned it, because we always, I'm glad you broke it down as far as the forgiving and forgetting and, you know, and not being grudge holders, because I have a tendency to, I can forgive you, but that does not mean I want you in my space. So I've been told that I haven't forgiven because that person that stabbed me in my chest with me looking at them, now they said they were sorry, and okay, let's go have dinner. That's not what I can't do that. That's just me. But I'm not mad, if that makes any sense. I'm really have gotten to the point where I'm forgiving the offense because I know I have to. I know I have to. I can even give that person a hug and have love for them, but that don't mean I want them in my space. Because I'm not going to forget that.
Right there. That's it right there. Mm-hmm. Say that again.
I don't want them in my space. I'm
I don't want to kick you. Yeah,
don't
I
want
to
kick you. I love you. I will pray authentically for you and pray you well, but I... Mm-mm.
And the beautiful thing about that is that we don't have to allow them back. You know, especially... The thing is, especially if they're unrepentant, if they're not even trying to get right, if they think what they did was okay and they're justifying it, I have a right to protect myself and say, no, you cannot occupy this space anymore. I forgive you, but you cannot do this again. So, yeah.
No, Marcus. How about this part? How about having to forgive somebody who... How about having to forgive somebody and you don't even know what they mad at or why you ended up being mad? What about that part? Because I'm with Dee Dee. I can hug you and, hey, how you doing? I have to do that on a constant basis because people are just honestly disingenuous. And not all people, but lots of people. And they'll say whatever that, you know, they say whatever about you, then see you and be about to bust the door down trying to be your friend or be in your space or be in your place. Yeah, hey, God bless you too. But I don't want to kick it. I don't want to kick it.
I think that what we have to do is make sure that we have to make sure that we're not requiring that people pay for what they did. Now, for everybody that looks like something different. You know, and I believe in even in the scripture telling us about forgiveness, it means basically not holding back our, it doesn't have so much to do with affection because, you know what, when we look at scripture, it has a lot to do with basically a lot of Jewish principles, and they didn't do a whole lot of feeling stuff. And so, you know, in our society today, it's about feeling. But it has everything to do with principles. So I think when we forgive, we have to be sure that we don't hold people to pay for what they did. You know, and that's kind of difficult because most of us weren't raised like that. Our parents, so a lot of us paid for what we did, but forgiveness doesn't have the strings attached that we want to put to it. So we have to make sure that we don't require that people pay for what they did. I don't think it has a whole lot to do with us sitting at their table, you know, and all these kind of things or, you know, whatever. But it has a lot to do with making sure that we make sure that the offender knows that we forgive you and do what we have to do. And it doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't mean that they have to sit down and eat with us, you know, whatever. But we can be cordial. We have manners, you know, and all of those things. But like you said, they don't occupy the same space. Baby, it doesn't require that we allow them to occupy the same space, but we have to make sure that we're not requiring that they pay for what they did.
Marcus, it's Miss D one more time, because I just got convicted, and I need to ask for forgiveness. So I'm going to do what I need to do once I get off this call, because as I was listening, what I heard and what I was doing with myself was, see, I was basing, and I had labeled someone as an offender. I was offended, yes, because I do not act or behave a certain way, and when it came to me, it offended me. But that doesn't make that person actually an offender. I was giving them a label. And see, when I put a label on something, like I put labels on myself, and people, society has labeled us as this, that, and the other, it kind of gives permission to either be locked up, criticized, judged, or whatever. But I got to remember that the lesson I need to learn is for me. It ain't about the other party. What you said about the man with those acronyms, to reenact and to empathize, to look at it, but that's for my self-examination. Thank you, Jesus, for the conviction I just got, because I need to examine myself and see why I was offended, then be able to go to my brother or sister and to discuss it out. And all I'm getting, I should be able to get some understanding. We should be able to get some understanding. That's the Christ-like activity I want in my life. So I'm thankful for this call. Thank you, God, for bringing it to me this morning, because I need to go back and make a direct amends for my part so that I can be wholly cleaned out. Thank you, guys. I appreciate all your input this morning that led me to listen to what God is saying for me to do, because I don't have a choice in this matter. This is something that God would deem to be done, because he tells us that we should not hold aught against our brothers, that we should go to them directly when we feel offended or that somebody has done us unjustly, to work these things out so that we can be a better disciple for Christ. And in my life today, that's what I choose to be. Thank you, guys. I love you guys. Thank you so much for helping me grow up today. Thank you.
Hey, Marcus.
Yes, sir.
I just want to point something out and just kind of, you know, put it out there. When I hear people talk about, you know, forgiving somebody, it sounds like it may be a casual, very casual relationship, maybe a coworker or someone like that. But what about the long-term friendship you may have had with someone, and that person offends you, then you work your way around to forgiving them, but then you say, well, I ain't got to hang out with them, I ain't got to be with them, I can't kick it with them. But before the offense, they was your ace, boom, coon. You had what seemed like a very solid relationship, and now because of a certain offense, you want to kick them to the curb. Now you can't hang out with them no more, when before you couldn't be seen without them. So I heard Dee Dee say something like, of being accused of not forgiving that person if you can't hang with them anymore. You know that, you know. So it's just kind of an interesting dynamic that maybe when the offense happened, you took so long to forgive them that the whole dynamic had changed. And I think that's why God tells us to be quicker to forgive. Because if you had a relationship with someone that was cool, 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 and they offended you and you took so long to forgive them, the whole thing doesn't change now when something you had before was just off the chain. So I think that's why we have to be encouraged to forgive maybe and forget that thing a lot quicker so that we can re-up that relationship. Because in marriages, or when you're in that type of relationship, you know, it's best that you forgive quick. That's why the Bible tells don't go to bed on your wrath. Because the dynamics can change in that relationship. Before you know it, y'all all are opposite ends.
You know what?
Can I say something, Marcus? This is
let me say this
well,
to
that
Tim
was
real
Tim talking. Go ahead.
Let me say something to
okay.
Tim real quick, Barbara. I was going to say all scenarios are different. It's a case-by-case thing. So for me, nobody that's just a casual acquaintance could have that effect on me. I'm talking about family members, friends from birth. I mean, so it's kind of case by case. And there are situations where you can't make amends because you're not, you know, the person offended you and they're not willing to speak. So, you know what I mean? So there's just different scenarios. But I get your point. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I was just putting it out there. And that's a good delineation I'm talking about. You know?
Marcus, can I speak this morning?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brother Tim, were you hold on 1 second. So hold on 1 second. So Brother Tim was finishing up, I think, and then Barbara, and then who was that asking me?
Julia, Sister Julia.
Okay, so Julia after Barbara. Okay, go ahead, Brother Tim. Were you finished? Okay.
Yeah. Well, I was finishing up. I was just basically wanting to put it out there, you know, for people to kind of maybe talk about it a little bit, because I've seen people in what seemed like good relationships behind an offense, but it took them so long to deal with the offense. During the meantime, that's when everything changed. So I was just saying, in order to protect a relationship that was good, it's better to quickly deal with the offense so that we won't end up going our separate ways. You know what I'm saying? When it was so good, you know, it was so cool before the offense happened.
Yeah.
So
and no doubt it.
Quickly.
Go ahead,
quickly.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I was just going to chime in and say that, yeah, it is a lot more difficult when it's someone that is much closer to you or somebody that you've had a long relationship with or a deeper relationship with. It really depends. It really changes the dynamic of how you forgive them or, you know, how the offense plays out. It's no cookie cutter situation with any relationship at all, of course, but the deeper the connection, of course, it just makes it a lot more challenging. Go ahead, Barbara. You wanted to speak up?
I totally agree with everything that you said, Tim. And I also agree with Dee Dee. It's kind of a case-to-case basis because, you know, I remember a pastor in a sermon talking about forgiveness. And one of the things he said that I really heard was that sometimes when people offend you, and you apologize and you've forgiven them and you've moved past that. But that does not mean that you have to give that person the same place they had in your life. Sometimes people are in our life for a season. And so it might be time for you just to move on. And I say that because I have a friend that I, like you said, you see how you see me, we're really close. I still love her. I'm not mad at her. But we hardly ever talk anymore. But that's not because I didn't try to. I kept reaching out, and she never responded back. So I had to move on to the next situation. I still love her. She called me today and asked for something or wanted me to help her or called. I'd be fine with it. But sometimes people are in your life for a season, and we have to accept that. As long as we know that we've forgiven them and we still love them and we still pray for them. But I totally agree with what you're saying, Tim. When it's a closer relationship, the quicker you do it, the better. That's why I commend you, Dee Dee, for taking care of that before you left your house. Because it's important.
Yeah. And all I was saying is that we're encouraged to handle our business with it. I'm not saying that, you know, it's going to happen because that person, if everybody was on the same page, if everybody was doing exactly what God said do, then it would be heaven. We'd be in heaven. So as long as we do our part, which means go to that person and try to handle it quickly, Yeah, and if they don't respond, of course, you can't do anything about that. But understand what right. we're called to do.
Right.
I think I offended somebody yesterday. You know, I kind of was, and I left in a huff and a puff. But then within an hour, I called that person back and apologized. Now, I was well within my right of doing what I did, but my actions, I know, made that person feel bad. Even though they were the wrong ones, I know that because of the influence I have in their life, me doing what I did kind of put a little depression on them. So I had to call and apologize for my actions, the way I did something. I knew it hurt their feelings, I put it that way, versus offending, hurt their feelings. So within an hour, I got on a phone call talking to a guy about a situation, praying with him and all that. And while I'm in the phone call with him, I had to text that person and apologize because I felt like, how am I going to sit here and try to minister to somebody and pray with this person, and I just did what I did. So I had to straighten that thing out because I didn't feel good about it, even though I was in my right, you know. But still, it didn't make me feel good. And so I had to apologize. And I was offended, but I mm-hmm. apologize because I know of the influence I had. Yeah.
Amen. All right, Julia, go ahead and speak up, and then I'm going to go ahead and close it out after that.
Okay, I've been through the same thing that, you know, that I was offended and my feelings was really hurt because I didn't do something for someone. And they got angry with me and stopped calling me and hung up in my face. But, you know, I tried to call them back to tell them that, you know, can we talk, you know, we should love each other and get along. And they would not return my phone call. So I went on with my life, but I do forgive that person. But sometimes you forgive, but you won't forget. But I forgive everyone, you know. So I have to go on with my life, you know, because life ain't promised to nobody. I can't keep dwelling on someone that don't want to return my phone call or don't want to forgive me. But I want to be the bigger person. I forgave that person, and I pray for that person every day.
Amen, Julia. And yes, we definitely should. Sometimes you just do have to move on, and people won't be as forgive. You know, they won't be forgiving, and they will hold things sometimes, and that's very true. Everybody deals with things differently, and so I guess great discussion today. Thank you, everybody who contributed, and I mean, I know it's never really over because it's like it's so much more you can really kind of flesh out. My admonishment to you all today is that I just pray that we all are kind of grow from what we discussed today and just learn, you know, what we can do to better ourselves. Because I think a lot of times, and I share this with the kids a lot when I'm teaching them, that one of the main things is that we're so focused on other people that we forget to focus on ourselves. And so as a result, I've done it before. I found myself, well, what about you? What about her? What about him? And it's like, no. Keep your focus on you. Take care of yourself. You know, like the declaration said, you know.
When you forgive a person and they don't want to talk with you, you know, they ignore you and all of that, what should you do about that?
So when the person ignores you and you've forgiven them and they won't accept it, there's nothing you can do about that. And that's what I was going to say lastly, is that it's God's job to change the person. It's your job to deal with the change that God has given you, you know. So if God has changed your heart, then just make sure you work on you. You know, that like me, like I'm in that situation right now. My job right now, I can't change what the other person is doing or did, but I can change me. I can work on me.
Thank you.
Can ask God, help me, God, deal with me. Lord, and I need to look within my heart, within myself and say, Marcus, did you really, really, really forgive them? And I need to search and be honest with myself and allow God to shine the light on every crack and crevice of my heart, because I want God to make sure that I'm in the right place. Forget about them.
Mm-mm. Thank you.
You know what? I want to make it in. So if that means that I even need to stop bringing up that you're ignoring me, then I'll do that too. You know,
thank
because
you.
Sometimes you can get offended because they're ignoring you. I'm not saying that's you. I'm just saying sometimes you get offended because they're ignoring you or because they're not accepting your forgiveness, and then you start another offense. So I think the thing is, just forgiveness is just forgiveness, period. So even if they're mad because of something went down or whatever, and now they're mad that they won't accept your apology or anything, forgiveness, just extend forgiveness all the way around. Forgive yourself, forgive them, forgive everything. It doesn't mean to forget about it. It just means to forgive, to let it go, and to move on with your life. So, yeah, you're on the right track. And so I admonish everyone to do the same thing. But like I said, search your heart and make sure that it's genuine and it's right and it's in God, and make sure that we're on the right track. You know, like I said, it's a case-by-case situation. You know, there's no cookie-cutter answer for everybody's situation. It's all different. We all go through different things. But trust this. We are on this prayer call asking God to heal and deliver and to set free and to fix things. If God can heal people from cancer, if God can raise people from the dead, if God can heal hearts from being broken, then he can surely, truly heal your pain from somebody that offends you. I believe that for me, and I pray that you believe that for yourself. I pray that you all grow and go in grace and love, and have a great, wonderful day and weekend. And we'll talk to you all again on the Friday Night Live call. God bless you. Have a great day.
Brother Marcus?
Yes, sir.
Hi, this is Eric. I just wanted to say just one quick thing. Me, you, and Brother Tim took a picture at the picnic, and Brother Tim had said, let the little man get in the middle. I just wanted to tell Brother Tim I was offended, and my personality, I was very, very hurt by that remark. But God has healed my pain, and we friends. That's all.
Well, let me apologize.
Couldn't have been no more sense than that Vaseline that you didn't have on.
Y'all are mad. Well, I'll apologize, but I didn't lie. But go ahead.
see, this is what I'm talking about.
That's
who
okay,
is that?
You don't say
there was a lady, a young lady speaking up. Who was that? What happened?
I was just trying to remind Brother Eric that he offended Niecy that said the balloon was going to carry her away. So how did he get offended by Tim? I'm just saying.
I'm afraid that all of these offenses from that picnic that happened a long time ago, I'm afraid that all those offenses go away.
If he was offended, why he just now saying something, put me on blast? What's up with that? I can take it.
Y'all are mad. Y'all have a good day.
All right, guys.
God bless y'all.
Love you guys. Talk to you soon.
Bye, everybody.
Be blessed and encouraged.
Have a good day.
Good day, everybody.
Hello?
Well, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Okay. So here's when are you planning to do my refrigerator?
Oh, I have to wait until you come home, I guess.
No. Well, I'm gonna ask you this. Can I call the front desk and give you permission to go in there?
You can, but I don't get paid for that.
Why not? You can put the hours down.
Still connected to the call. You might want to.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
What?
No, I'm sorry. Let me call you back again.
Oh, God.
Let me call you right back.